I'm Tom Cooney, and this is Business Wise. Our guest today is Scott Stiles. Scott is the interim city manager with the City of Cincinnati. And Scott, you've been in the City of Cincinnati's government for more than 25 years now. What have you seen change over that span of time? I'm sure you've seen lots of things change, but what's the biggest change you've seen in the form of government?
Obviously, there's some things that stand out. Technological changes have really come a long way since we've last done business on a lot of our departments, from our police collaborative, some of the things that they're involved in. Some of your listeners will remember back in 2003, we entered into a collaborative agreement with the Department of Justice, and that's really led to unprecedented cooperation. It really took our police department culturally in a different way, in a different direction than it had been going before, to the great benefit of the city and the residents. It just created great change and great community partnerships that we hadn't had before. That piece of it alone has been tremendous. There's lots of different ways just in terms of how we interact with the media and how City Hall is reported and covered. You know, we didn't have Twitter back then, and there weren't blogs. And
probably not even live TV 25 years ago.
No, there was certainly not much of that. And, you know, you had a few mainstream media that worked with, but now you're really trying to find new ways to connect with your audience, with your citizens. There's new ways to engage. We just passed a resolution yesterday that talked about council wanting us to get much more involved in citizen engagement. And so it seems like, well, how could water and sewer business change? But our water department is probably considered on the cutting edge of one of the best water systems in the world. And when you think about it, we started out with basic sand filtration. Then we were really at the forefront when we added carbon filtration as the next step of it. And just a year or so ago, we opened our ultraviolet radiation. That is the final step of the treatment now. I don't think you'll really find that really anywhere in the world.
Well, when we continue our conversation tomorrow, maybe we can talk about how you're actually using water as an economic development tool. For Business Wise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney, and this is Business Wise. Our guest today is Scott Stiles. Scott is the interim city manager with the City of Cincinnati. And Scott, you've been with the city more than 25 years, and we were talking yesterday about some of the changes that have taken place over that time, including the City of Cincinnati's water department really is kind of a state-of-the-art water system and actually is being used to some degree as an economic development tool in terms of attracting new types of business.
A lot of people are really calling water the new gold. And, you know, you're looking at some of the problems that are happening out west. I've talked to city managers in West Texas and other places who are literally running out of water in their communities. And if you don't have a good abundance of water, you're not going to be able to attract light manufacturers and other folks for economic purposes. And so we're very fortunate with some of the technological changes we've made with our water system. We have some of the best water processes in our system with sand, carbon activation, ultraviolet radiation, the final step of it. It's a tremendous resource for us. Everybody in this region, we're fortunate to have an abundance of water. And you're absolutely right. It is an economic development tool that can help us.
How important is economic development in your scope of duties? I know you have a lot of things with just keeping the city running day by day, but long term, we need to keep improving our economic development, don't we?
We have really spent the last 10 years really trying to grow the city in some of the economic development incentives that we've been offering. We've seen a great interest in people wanting to move into the center city. A lot of people have obviously talked about some of the growth of the residential market in downtown, over the Rhine, some of the areas around Washington Park and Center City Living. So it's really, there's some cultural changes going on there. We're trying to support those while at the same time supporting new job attraction, new job growth in the city, because for us, earnings taxes are what are the lifeblood for allowing us to provide services to people.
For Business Wise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney, and this is Business Wise. Each year during tax season, we get questions from readers of the Inquirer and from visitors to the Cincinnati.com online site where we do a live tax chat. And each year there are certain themes to the questions. And one of the ones that we've gotten on a recurring basis this year has to do with education credits or student loan interest deductions. And there's a lot of confusion as to who's entitled to those benefits and whether or not a certain level of person is eligible for the benefits. Generally speaking, whoever pays the cost of the education is entitled to the benefit, as opposed to the student who may not pay their own cost. In other words, their parent may be entitled to the benefit. The parent, however, is restricted on the amount of credit or deduction they can take depending upon their income, and that's phased out at income levels of between $107,000 and $190,000 of income depending upon the exact program that you're trying to take benefit for. The main thing to get from this is that credits are better than deductions. So if you're entitled to one of the credits, such as the American Opportunity Credit, that's usually going to be the most beneficial tax benefit. If you're not entitled to a credit, then the deductions may be useful to you, such as the student loan deduction. If you can't get it because of your income, it's possible, if your student can claim themselves as a dependent, that they may be entitled to the benefit of either the deduction or the credit. The important thing is to look at all these programs, determine which one is of the greatest benefit to you, and then act accordingly. And remember, it's probably difficult to do this manually, so you can get some pretty inexpensive tax software if you do your own tax return and work through which credit is most beneficial to you, or you can ask your preparer, if you hire a tax preparer, to make sure that they've looked at the program and made sure that you're getting the biggest benefit that you're entitled to. For Business Wise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney, and this is Business Wise. Our guest today is Nikki Gordon. Nikki is the manager of community relations of Fidelity Investments Midwest Regional Site here in Northern Kentucky. And Nikki, April is National Financial Literacy Month, yes. Something that's near and dear to my heart, financial literacy. Can you tell us a little bit about why April is National Financial Literacy Month and why that's important?
This is really a time, it's recognized in the United States as a time in April where we're trying to highlight financial literacy and to all Americans. And at Fidelity, we use it as an opportunity to really look at some of the programs we do in the community and highlight some of those during that month.
And why financial literacy? I mean, obviously Fidelity is in the financial arena.
Research shows that there's a low amount of young adults that are actually financial literate, and 27% of those actually young folks are able to make those financial decisions. So we feel it's important as we're investing in the future and we're looking at those students and educating them and getting them excited about what financial decisions actually mean for their future. So everything from making good decisions with their families to financial outputs in the future and how we can be a part of that.
Well, I think we all saw during the Great Recession that oftentimes people didn't make good financial decisions. Maybe they thought if someone would allow them to borrow money, they were entitled to that money.
Exactly.
Obviously, that wasn't always the case, and it had some pretty dire consequences for a lot of people.
And I think, you know, looking at some of the basic financial concepts and things that people need to know and that they take for granted sometimes, that, you know, we're able to give them a foundation, to give them some resources through teaching, whether it's in their schools or teaching some teachers and giving them that foundation of how they're able to communicate with those students.
Well, and that education is important because financial literacy, just like any other type of literacy, is not intuitive. You have to be taught it.
Exactly. And we're really working to fill that void. So bringing in volunteers to those classrooms and using curriculum with some of our great partners and the organizations we work with.
For Business Wise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney, and this is Business Wise. Our guest today is Nikki Gordon. Nikki is the manager of community relations of Fidelity Investments Midwest Regional Site here in Northern Kentucky. And Nikki, I know you're very involved in Fidelity's financial literacy effort. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about what you're doing with some of the schools in this area with regard to financial literacy.
So we're really working to pilot some new programs this year, and we have some great partners, and our biggest asset is our employees. So we're looking at the skills and the expertise of those employees and bringing them into the classrooms as volunteers and working with nonprofit partners. So Junior Achievement, for example, we've created an innovative partnership with them where we're teaching students in eighth grade some of those economics for success terms, and we're bringing them to Fidelity's campus, giving them a tour, but also shaping up some of those essential pieces when it comes to financial literacy.
How do your employees react to doing this? I know it's got a very positive influence on the students, mm-hmm. but how does it work with the employees?
They love it. I'll tell you that with this new innovative program, we had a registration and we exceeded that amount. And so they're very engaged. And the unique part of this, I think, is looking at what we do as a financial firm. You know, we educate our clients. And so we want to bring that to the future workforce. We want to bring that to the community. And working with those students helps accelerate that.
Don't you think that lots of people, especially younger people today, want to work someplace where they actually can feel like they are giving back to the community to some degree?
Yeah, definitely. I look at Fidelity and I look at our employees, and oftentimes they're going above and beyond, you know, their child's classroom, and they're looking at how we can impact where we live and where we work. So many times these students that are coming in that we're working with are from our local community and from our partner school, but also we're extending into Cincinnati area and looking at some of those students that we can touch as well.
Well, that's great, and we appreciate everything you do and Fidelity does for making our community a better place. For BusinessWise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.